I would like to welcome everyone to the 13th in the series of lectures, Shi'urim, on the negative theology, the parts of the Baruch Nebuchadnezzar, the God Perplex, that where the Rambam explicates his negative theology. And I believe that last time we began chapter 61, Perek Samach Aleph, which appears in the Schwartz edition on page 155. And I think we'll just start from the beginning again. There's no issa, there's no prohibition in Chazara in going over things. So I think we'll just sort of like begin again from chapter 61. We recall that the Rambam now has developed philosophically this notion that God can only be described in negative attributes and negative propositions, not in positive ones. And the Rambam was actually, in the previous chapters we spoke about last time, presented to us a diatribe of dangers, right, in trying to ascribe to God any positive attributes. And we spoke about this simply because, beginning of chapter 61, the Rambam is actually going to invoke positive attributes that we find both in the Chumash and both in philosophy, which the latter of which the Rambam actually accepts. So I guess the Rambam was giving us a little like of a hasra, like a warning, that we should understand that the attribution of positive descriptions of God should not be understood in any type of intelligible way in which we use these attributes in other areas. Okay, but we will continue in developing this thing. Okay, now, let's, once again, we will begin from Perek Samach Aleph, chapter 61, page 155, in the Meir Levuchim, translated by Michal Schwartz. Begins the Rambam, Kol Shemoisav Yis'ala HaMatsuyim B'Kisvei HaKodesh, all the names of HaKodesh Baruch Hu that we find in the Holy Scriptures, Kulam Guzulim Maisim. All of them actually base themselves on acts. This, of course, has been a foundation of the Rambam's negative theology, that we cannot describe God, but we can describe acts of God. So therefore, if in fact we find names in the Kisvei HaKodesh which describe HaKodesh Baruch Hu, they're basically describing acts of God. The reason we can describe acts of God, as the Rambam said previously, is they are removed enough from HaKodesh Baruch Hu himself. Zedav Yadur. Says the Rambam, this is known. Known means that, I guess, the way the Rambam's interpreted things, he assumes that we know it by now. Zula Hashem Echad. Says the Rambam, there's one exception. For who? Yud Kei Vav Kei. This is the, it's usually referred to as the ineffable name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tetragrammaton, something that's referred to. Ki Hu Shem Prati Lo Yis'ala. Because actually, this is a proper name. In other words, it's not a description of God's act, which is actually a proper name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'cheinu nikra shem ha-mufurish. Says the Rambam, because for this reason it's called the explicit name, because a proper name of God is called the explicit means which it explicitly refers to God and not to anything else. Perish ha-davish, yumeir al-atmusa yis'ala ha-yirah berura. That the name refers to God's essence, the God of himself, asha'in ba-shuta. And therefore we're not using a term a term which is in common with something else. In other words, it's not a term that we use in the world that we have to be applying it in addition to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but rather it refers directly to a Kodesh Baruch Hu's essence. Sha'ar Shemaisim Abafarim, other names of by which we extol God, we're now turned over to page 156, Luma Zois, in the contradiction to this, Meitim Meshitav. In other words, other names that we give of Kodesh Baruch Hu, merciful, kind, just, are names that we usually use in the mundane sense. And we happen to also use them with God too. In other words, it's shared with God and the rest of the world, and other things too. Mnei Shem Gazul Mimaisim, because these are based upon acts of God. Asher Kamaisim Metsuyim Lano. In other words, these acts are something which, you know, we are acquainted with. Acts that people do other than acts of God. Confucian Piyan, like we explained. Well, this is all something that we've spoken about. Afilo Hashem Hashem B'machanem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. In other words, of course, when we actually use Yud Kei Vav Kei, we never say the name explicitly. Of course, we no longer know how to say the name explicitly, but we usually use the Lashon of Adnos, right? Gozu Gam Hu Min HaAdnos. In other words, basically, In other words, the name that's used to refer to the Shem HaFurash is Adnus, Aleph Dalad Nun Yod. And says the Rambam, this is based upon the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adnus, that, in other words, is based upon the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Lord, right? Which means what the Rambam is saying is that the name that's used to refer to the ineffable name, the Tetragrammaton, is a name which in fact actually denotes lordship, right? And this in fact actually is the reason it's used as such. Like it says, Dabai Ish Adonia Oretz, right? Is the pasuk. Adonia Oretz means our master. Now, Hahendel ben Shetoma Adoni, Benun Chalukah. The difference whether you say Adoni, my master, with a Nun Chalukah means a Chirik. Or ben Shetoma Zois Benun Arucha Komatz, or use Doinoi Komatz, Kamoyu. Kahendel ben Shetoma Sori, Ashimash Usu Hasar Shali, if you say Sari, my noble, or ben Shetoma Sorai. Eishes Avraham. In other words, the difference between a description of a master, saying my master, and between what he's calling a kinoi, is denoting a proper noun. Kimilim edel mabios covered v'koilos acherim. In other words, what we're doing is we're giving praise, we're giving honor. In other words, the reason that we're mechana, that we refer to the yudke vavke, the tetragrammaton, right, in terms of Adnus, because the word Adnus itself usually means that we're giving honor, we're giving cover to a certain person. And to say that we're giving cover explicitly to a Kodesh Baruch as opposed to anybody else, so we replace the Chirik, Adoni, with Adonai, Komatz. Sharei Nema Lamalach, Adoni, Imna Matzatzachem Enecha, Alna Tavor, etc. Okay, now, beyond the Chazoy's Dafka,
when it's Adoni, it's not talking about God?
Adonai is not talking about God. No, it's talking about when it's with the chirik. It's not speaking about a kodesh baruch hu, but rather it's speaking about a person using respect to another person.
So we never find in Tanakh someone talking to God with Adonai.
No, I don't think so. When Yehuda speaks to Yosef, he says Adonai Shaul, etc., etc. I think the komatz indicates that it's a kodesh baruch hu. That's what I think.
In the this usage of the machlokas about whether Avram is speaking to the angel or thing, in the footnote says it's a resolution. But
what?
Adonai Ibn Amat Zazichen, the machlokas.
And the Gemara is a resolution. But is that a chomatz?
It's Adonai. It is Adonai.
It is Adonai. Okay, then I don't
know. Apart from this.
Okay, but Adonai, good. I think there's if you look in the Tevas, whatever it is, Binyan Shlomo, whatever it is, a book on grammar, there he goes into an exposition of what the komatz is. But in any case, I'm not sure the Baruch Hu has to agree with the Mishnah Torah.
But apart from saying the word, he's claiming that Adonai always refers to, does never refers to God.
In a chanami.
That's okay.
Right. B'yag l'chazoyz dafka l'gabe Adonai b'miuchat. Adonai b'miuchat. Okay, I'm relying upon the Yavitz, that can say Hashem Hashem. The Yavitz writes, he says Hashem is Father Chacham Tzvi. Sheboyim mechuna, because we're mechana, we're referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu. B'kev and shum amyuchat sheben shem moitzim is alamu mfosomim. V'ilo yisra, but the other names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu can go Dayan, a judge, Tzadik, Chanan, Racham, Elokim, Bo Hashem, Koilalim, Nigzorim. Here it says Elokim. So Elokim, in other words, Elokim of Adar is it describes God's actions, but it is Kodesh. In other words, the issue of Kedusha is not related to this. Yeah, I mean, Elokim is a Vada Hashem Kodesh. But the Rambam is saying is that actually refers to, it refers to a acts of God, probably money, either an act of might, an act which implies the Kodesh Baruch Hu is powerful, that's Elokim. Okay. V'ilu Hashem Shaisiz v'kevavke liyadu ala. Okay, now. So he says an interesting thing. He says the Rambam, all these names, Dayan, Tzadik, Chanan, Racham, Elokim, in other words, we use them, right, in the vernacular too. For example, Amati ben Elohim Atem. Because Elohim comes from nobles. Or for example, a Dayan, Tzadik. In other words, all these names have a vernacular, a mundane usage, and we're happy thing using it. We're using it b'sheilu, means we apply it also to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's how we describe Kodesh Baruch Hu by the acts of God, because the acts of God can be described the same way we describe, vernacular things, acts of people. But, says the Rambam, Yud Kei Vav, you know what the Rambam says? How do we know that in fact has Yud Kei? What is one of the reasons or one of the consequences that Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Shema for first of the essence of God? Because it has no clear, it has no meaning. In other words, we don't use Yud Kei Vav Kei in the vernacular. Hashem Yovei Lo Yadua like Zema for Semes. We don't know where it's used anywhere. It's never used anywhere. Lo Mishtatev by Hazulas. It's never. In other words, not based on anything. Yud Kei Vav Kei, we don't know really how, what, where the world, what the word is based on, and where it's used in any other, whether it's used in any other, in other way, other than when it's used in the Chumash to refer to Chumash Baruch Hu. And Savish Hashem Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Vatenoi Soi Kfishe Doyata Ela B'Mikdash. In other words, this name, which is only pronounced, right, as you know, says the Rambam, as you know, right, except in the Beis Hamikdash. It's used to the Kahanim. The Gemara says that the Kahanim used to duchen with the Shema Hashem HaMafurash. The Kohen Gadol, B'yayim Matzayin, the Kohen Gadol also would utter the, you know, the Tetragrammaton. Matzbiya al Inyan Kolshu. Ah, so the Rambam says, why is it the fact that this name was only used, right, in very, very specific cases? Only the Beis HaMikdash, Kahanim, the Kohen Gadol. Another reason or another consequence of the fact that this is the level of the name of God, because we see it's only used in specific places, meaning, in other words, since its usage is extremely limited, it clearly does not have any analogies in, you know, other scenarios. So perhaps, now, of course, in other words, we don't really know what Yud Kei Vav Kei is. In other words, we don't really know what it means. Except the Rambam says, it seems to be the Shem of a Furash. How does he know it? He knows that, number one, for example, it has no clear origin. It's not used anywhere else. And Chazal tells us it was only used in very, very specific places of Kedusha, of holiness. So says the Rambam, Ulai Umayra, Al Pi Al Hashem Yimena Lomat Yisleinu Hayom, El Adova Hamuat B'yaysa, Begam Behetim L'mashim Vatim Yisai, perhaps this name, right? Perhaps the meaning of the name itself, in fact, actually refers to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a necessary existence. In other words, up to now, God, in other words, God's essence was that He exists, but says the Rambam, He doesn't exist in the way any other thing exists because He necessarily exists. He has to exist. Other things exist by virtue of something else. Kadosh Baruch Hu exists by virtue of the fact of who He is. So says the Rambam, perhaps the words, right, the term, I mean, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the word is composed of letters, or part of the letters, come from some type of an expression, which we don't know today, which indicated at the time that, you know, people used the term, which indicated God's necessary existence. That's what the Rambam is saying. So let's go on to page 157. Uvesikuma Shodava, says the Rambam. So therefore, Uvesikuma Shodava, meaning that in conclusion, Gudulasa Shoshemze, the greatness, the awesomeness of this name, Vaisa Lavata Isa, in the prohibition to pronounce it, in other words, the greatness of the name, it's called Shem Mefurash, and the fact that it's prohibited to express it, this is a clear consequence of the fact that it has no analogy, has no usage anywhere else but when it's referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So basically, Kvisha Amu Chazal, the Chazal say, so it says Shmi Hamyuchadli. Now, what the Rambam done up to now? What the Rambam's done up to now is that he's enforced. He's brought, in other words, the Rambam has, over the last number of chapters, has brought philosophical proof to the fact that God's essence, right, has nothing in common with anything else. Therefore, we cannot use any positive attributes, because we describe God with positive attributes, these attributes have absolutely no analogy to any other usage. God's existence, God's knowledge, that's what the Rambam has explained to us. In other words, we shouldn't think by ascribing, when we ascribe something positive to God, His knowledge, His existence, His will, that there's any analogy whatsoever, any commensurability between God's will and will as we usually understand it within our world, and knowledge and existence, etc., etc. The Rambam, therefore, right, in a certain sense, is saying, is a certain sense, well, one or two ways of explaining it. You could say he's bringing proof of this. In other words, the fact of the Rambam is what I'm saying is really what Chazal is saying, is what the Chumash is saying. In other words, the very, very fact that there's something which Chazal called the Shema Mefurash, the explicit name of God, which we know, which does not seem to have any, the pronunciation is not known. It was limited only in very, very specific places, as we'll see, Mirtz Hashem, in the while, specific times in history. And also, too, it does not seem to have anything in common with any other verb noun that we're aware of. And in fact, as we don't even know how to pronounce this, says the Rambam, all these things are rayas, are proofs, right, of the philosophical conclusions which I reached in the previous chapter. In other words, we see clearly that the Chumash is coming, in a certain sense, the Chumash is basically coming to substantiate the philosophical arguments that I've made. Okay, very good, Baruch Hashem. In other words, should a person say, well, the Rambam, this negative theology is an invention of Aristotelian and Platonic and Greek thinking and has no origins in the scriptures, and the Rambam is, and the scripture basically is composed of deities, paganist deities, that were somehow fashioned and made into a monotheistic religion. So the Rambam, obviously this is not true, because we see the peculiarities of the explicit name of God all have meet the proper criterion for an essence of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the Rambam basically is substantiating the fact that the philosophical notion of negative theology is something which has existed among Klai Yisrael, the Jewish people, from time immemorial. Okay? Fine. Very good. Now, V'il Shah HaShemais, but what about other names? But other names are adjectives, and they're referring to God's essence. But basically they're speaking about the descriptions. And they're descriptions that are used usually with things that are described. Became a shame exalted, because they're derived from acts of God and they're not referring to Kaddish Baruch himself. Because of that, they for example, if a person understands it to be actually explicit descriptions of Kaddish Baruch Hu, they come to fool us, to make us think that perhaps actually God can appear in multiple situations, or multiple in multiple personages. They make us think that God is descriptions. That there's an essence, and then you can describe the essence. In other words, all these words of the Chumash are what mistake us to think that you can describe God. Because that's true of any word. This is the concept of an adjective. An adjective implies that, in other words, there's an object that you're describing. Became a Jehucha, but since we've proven rigorously and philosophically that Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot be described in any way because he's incorporeal in every sense of the word, so therefore we have to say that the words are actually, in fact, descriptions of his actions, or to teach us the Kodesh Baruch Hu Shleimus. Now, this is an incredible thing. The Rambam here is stuffing something in, to use the Yiddish expression. He says, he brought the Gemara in Brachos. Rav Chanina didn't want the person to add adjectives. Lulish, they devom, shizkish, shizkuzois, bekevin, she'ela, gomis, lo dimin, shav, ter atzmos, she'ein, shlemius, hanimtsois, boy. In other words, basically, that's what Rav Chanina didn't want him to use, the person to use, positive attributes, to the attributes, because had they not been used in scripture, in other words, there's a danger in using positive attributes of Kaddish Baruch Hu, because they sometimes can mislead us into thinking that you can describe God when you can't describe God. It's very, very interesting that the Rambam actually makes two clauses here, which are important. Because the Rambam began by saying that the other names of God are really descriptions of his actions. Right? That's the Rambam began. Chapter 61, page 155. Kol she meisim is ala matzuyim v'kisvi ha-kodesh kulam gezurim meisim. All the descriptions of his acts. And in fact, this was actually the exception. The exception to negative theology. Namely, that's exception to negative theology. In other words, when terms are used to describe God, they're used to describe God only because they describe his acts. And the Rambam says, in other words, you can't describe God's essence by terms, because people do that. They think they're, in other words, they think that something which is the perfection of people, the perfection of God, they make that mistake. But here the Rambam is talking about a very interesting thing. He's slipping in another clause. He's saying, why did the Torah use adjectives which describe God? He says, either, since it's been proven, and of course the Torah cannot possibly contradict reason and logic, since it's been proven that God is incorporeal and therefore resists any form of of description, so it must be the names that appear are either what? Either because they're descriptions of God's acts, or they're coming to teach us about his shleimus, about his perfection. But why would something come to teach about his perfection? That violates negative theology. So we have a very interesting thing over here that, in fact, actually, and not only that, I mean, the Rambam has told us in actually the previous chapter, chapter 60, don't use any attributes, because attributes fool us to thinking that our perfections are God's perfections, and that's really wrong. So the Rambam has essentially what the Rambam has done is he slipped in here a glaring contradiction to everything he said heretofore within his negative theology. Now, I'm going to leave this here as it is. Maybe I can really answer this, right? The fact is that, and the Rambam has warned us in chapter 60 not to use terms which indicate perfections, because they're merely perfections in us and not perfections in God. But describing his actions is in fact that. Now, how, in other words, Kalimah, and then the Rambam became a chain of Gomez al Dimin Shav, Teuli Atzibus. They come to fool us that we can, they come to fool us to think that we can actually describe it. Kalimah, Shehain, Shleimius, and Nimtoi is Boy. In other words, things that are perfections in us, why should we think we can think there's perfections in a Kodesh Baruch? Now, what the Rambam might be saying is that we have a little bit of a question. And the question is, the Torah used, the Chumash, the Kisvei HaKodesh, used these terms because, you know, we're describing God's acts. But the Rambam says, you know, you have to be very, very careful. In other words, these terms cause us, in fact, actually, you know, cause us actually to think that we can describe God. So the question is, if that's true, why would the Chumash use them? So, it could, in other words, what type of a heter is there? In other words, why would the Chumash use terms of God, which was would give us, the Rambam says, a dimyon shav, to think that what is that? That God can be described. Now, the fact is that the use of anthropomorphic terms like Yad Hashem, the hand of God, etc., etc., the Rambam has already told us in Perek Chavav that these terms are used because otherwise people wouldn't believe in God. But the fact is, right, why would the Torah use these terms? In other words, so I think the answer has to be, I'm going to, you know, make a hypothesis, the answer could possibly be, is that the Torah somehow has to communicate to people God's perfection. In other words, even though, in fact, we know that we can't describe God ultimately in terms of perfection, because any description of perfection is clearly a human kind of perfection and not a divine kind of perfection. Nonetheless, maybe the Rambam felt that the Torah has to communicate this to people, because some people, just like some people, would not be able to believe in an incorporeal God. They have to somehow associate with God's anthropomorphic language, so too could possibly be that in order to instill in people a honor and fear and love of God, we have to, so the Kodesh has to somehow use aspects of perfection, and even though these aspects of perfection are only human and not divine perfections, ultimately these aspects of perfection have to what? In other words, have to give people a concept of perfection so that they can truly honor and extol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I would say is what the Rambam seems to be saying. And the fact is, so therefore, the fact is, what was the Rambam saying in chapter 60? He was saying like this. He says, don't be fooled that the Torah uses terms of perfection. It was the terms of perfection should not be understood any more literally than terms like God's hand, the God's feet, or God's face. In other words, just as the terms of the Chumash have to be understood in the proper philosophical sense, even though the Chumash uses anthropomorphic language, so too, terms to indicate God's perfection have to also be understood in the proper philosophical sense. Do not be fooled that Torah uses these terms. I think that's probably why the Rambam here sticks this in. Okay? Now, let's go a little bit further. Shemaisiv Yisala, Shenigzum and Amaisim, Gormel, Lekaron, Hashim, Dibber, and Shav, Shesh, Lo, Ta'ala, Merubim, Kemispa, Amaisim, Shem, Nigzulu. Of course, once again, the Rambam is actually repeating this. That the attributes that actually come from acts sometimes cause people, who says, you know, cause many people, several people, to think that, right, in other words, that God has attributes. So the Torah says, don't worry. In the future, people will really understand this. Like it says, what does that mean? This is saying, just like God is one, can you call it as b'shem echad b'lvad? So too you'll be called by one. In other words, in other words, in the future, people are going to be more enlightened and going to understand that God is a perfection unto him. In other words, he's an incorporeality unto himself, and that, in fact, actually, in other words, he resists any type of a description. And then the Rambam brings another. In other words, what the Rambam is bringing this Chazal to say to us is that Chazal will well aware of the fact that the Chumash is actually using terms that can, in fact, actually, perhaps mislead us. But in the future, people are going to call God, refer to God in the proper sense. And then finally, Pirkei Rabbi Yezer, the Rambam brings from Pirkei Rabbi Yezer, he says, "Atzel nivra olam hayakosh bochu shmo bolvad." Before the world was created, God and his name was what? What does it mean, God and his name is what? Says the Rambam, "Was b'ayin evo kaitzer amam forasha shmoist exam el nutzu kulam baklecha shnoitzah olam." In other words, this what I mean. Before the world was created, God and his name was what? After the world was created, he has several names. Why? Because it's clear that names come from acts of God. After the world was created, in other words, this is a raya proof to the Rambam shita. This theory is, you know, is position that other names of God come from descriptions of acts of creation. When you refer to God's essence, which is transcends any type of act. The name has no precedent, no name has no root, has no meaning in any other context. Don't think anything else. Okay, very good. Okay, now. So up to now, what the Rambam has done is explained to us how names appear in the Chumash, and how these names, in fact, actually do not violate his negative theology. In other words, basically, that there's a Shem HaMafurish, which appears to be a name of God, which meets all the specifications of what a name of God, God's essence should be. And there are other names of God which clearly refer to as acts. Okay, now, I want to go, the Rambam says in page 158, there's certain people who write kamiyos, who write amulets. He says they fool people. They're charlatans. They write in their books. Shemes Elo Einam Asbim Al Shum Inyan Kla. These names that appear do not refer to anything.
Which names?
What?
The names,
written in these amulets, right. And Korim like some Shemes Vatoinim Shem Tzuichim Kedusha Vatayra. They claim that these things have to have a Kedusha Vatayra, Chas V'Shalom. If Shem Oisim Neflois, they... I see they had plenty of Bubba's Tanu V'Rambam. Kol Adav Elo Heim Sipurim. These are stories. Roy Lo Adam Shom Neshom Neshom In other words, no roy. In other words, a person should believe them. Okay. Now, it says the Rambam, "Bishum ponim al nikra Hashem lafurish elazeh Hashem ben Abba Isis." In other words, what's called Hashem lafurish is only Yud Kevavke. Right? Right? Okay. Asher enu nikra lafias yizam feirish, and it says he brings a sefri, koi sefas be Yisrael, koi b'loshan azeh, koi b'shem lafurish. The breeze the mikdash could cost for medina bekinoi. Because the medina, that means outside the base of mikdash. The Talmud Nehemar, koi b'shem mafurish, atoi b'shem mafurish, elo bekinoi, Talmud Levish, somos shemiyam b'nei Yisrael. Shemiyam yuchadli. He's balachas of the Rambam again, the shem mafurish is only yud kevavke. Okay. Now.
What does Rambam do with the shem ayin base?
We're going to speak, well, Ayin Beis, I don't know, but he's going to speak about the next chapter of Shem Mem Beis. Shem Chob Beis Mem Mem Beis. He's going to speak about it. The Rambam, the next chapter, is going to have to go into this. Ani avelecha ma adover shekom alashim la'amin behem ma shemidim bedover Hashem Beis. Avelecha b'ayazim perek shachreizeh. V'asilecha es haloit ava'ala achalo yishar ba'koshi imkein tiltza lahatois es atzmecha. Okay, now, the Rambam says, in the next chapter, I'm going to explain to you what caused people to believe the names what they believe, right? I'm going to explain this in the next chapter, and I'm going to expose, right, that you shouldn't have any problems with it. Okay, now, chapter 62. Parak Sanos Beis 159.
The Rambam claims his Khmer Rite is just mamish made up everything.
Made up everything, right, yeah. But actually, the Rambam's going to claim that there was actually a degeneration of this even in the time of Etan the Chobish Tov. Time of Chazal, before Chazal. Chazal speak about it. So we'll see in a little while. But the Rambam's, okay, now. Perek Samach Beis, chapter 62, 159. Obviously, I mean, I've been reading very quickly and translating. We haven't gone into any issues in any depth, but I think that really these three pelukim have to be understood as a whole. So I prefer to go through it and make the necessary comments in the proper places, you know, to alert you to the different things that are going on, especially the notion of Shleimus, as I did before. And then after that, we will go and actually put together and see that the Rambam is actually expounding a very, very deep understanding of religious history and anthropology. Okay, now, Perek Samach Beis, chapter 52, says the Rambam, Nitzavinu obikos kehanem uva shem Hashem keksavoy asher u'shem mafuk. In other words, we have a mitzvah because kehanem, and the mitzvah kehanem, the bracha of the Kahanim is said with the Shem HaMafurash. Lo yadu l'chol echad keitzah b'vatim tzoy. Not everybody knew how to pronounce his name. Be'elo tnuois, in other words, what type of vowels, yesh l'hagos kol ois merosi yosav, in other words, what type of vowels use in each of the letters, hayim yesh l'hagish chalik merosi yosav, should you put an accent on some of the letters, hayim yesh ois tegusha, is it soft or hard? There was a Messiah, there was a tradition of how to do this.
How do you have Tegusha in the letter of the...
What?
What Nafkum is, I mean, Yud Kei Vav Kei are not very good letters for...
What?
For Dagesh and
Well, you'd have to go to the Kubbas Labi at the time that they used to do it. They used to
pronounce it differently.
The Kubbas, they pronounce it differently. I mean these are things that, you know, I've been spoken about before. Okay, the Ainu is Oifen Agoya, the way it's pronounced. Loyim Alandim Zeis L'Shum Onu. They wouldn't teach it to anybody. El Talmid Hogum Pam Achas Peshavua. Like to one to a specific to a worthy Talmud once Peshavua, once a week, or maybe once every 7 years. Ani Mamin Shema Sha'amu Shem Ben Abba Oisil Chom Moishel Sula Bleil Talmid Pam Achas Peshavua. Says the Rab like this. Now, the fact is that I'm now saying. And a very, very important novel here, which is important. Okay? Ani Mamin, says the Rambam, I believe that which Chazal say, it's a Gemara Kedusha the Fine Aleph, that the Shem Ben Abba Oisius, the Tetragrammaton, Chachamim Moisin Oisil Levneim, the Tamidei, Chachamim would pass it on to the children and to the students, pa'machas b'shavua, once, let's say, every 7 years, ein ze rak ketzer levato isoy. This is not only a pronunciation. Elagam limud ha'inyan asher l'mandeyu yuchat shem ze, was actually teaching them what the name is referring to. Azay ye gam b'chach soy d'loiki. And therefore, it will be a divine secret. Now, what's the Rambam saying? Okay, I think to understand this, we have to turn to chapter 71 in the Mirin of Uchim, Perek Ayin Aleph, page 185.
95?
No, 185. In the Schwartz edition. Perek Ayin Aleph, chapter 71. I'm going to begin this chapter because it's very, very important. Also, too, this chapter will actually have a very interesting cross-reference with the shiurim that I'm giving on the Chasimus HaTalmud. Oral tradition versus a written tradition. Da, says the Rambam, ki hachokmos harabos, ki hachokmos rabos, there were many wisdoms, shahayu ba'adasenu, right? Le'imbos hadavom ha'elo. In other words, there were many wisdoms that were actually known in our nation, right? That actually expressed many of the ideas that we're expressing here in the Mirin of Uchim, says the Rambam. But they were lost, right? Avdu beglal oyach hazman. They were lost. Why? Because of due to time. Beglal ishtaltus or umeis haberes aleinu, because that we, the Jewish people, were persecuted, were ruled by the ignorant nations. And also, too, an oral tradition is only transmitted to very select people. We spoke about this in detail in the Chasimus HaShatz, Moshe Zbano, like we explained. In other words, what was meant for the public was the Torah Shem Achzav, the written law, which the Medrash says in the Devarim, Moshe Ben Aaron, and gave to every Shevet. The Rambam mentions this in the Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah. Yudei ata shafilu alocha masua lo yaisa uchas b'seifer. B'zmanem kedume. B'glam ma'ashenu with padoseinu. D'var m'shamati lecha alpe. Yet ha'roshi l'omum b'ksav. In other words, says the Rambam, the oral law was something that was passed on orally and it couldn't be written down. Now, why should there be an oral law that isn't written down? What's the purpose of it? Doesn't everybody have a right to know the halacha? Says the Rambam, this was a very, very clever, a wise thing with respect to the term, meaning the law. Because this would prevent what happened afterwards. In other words, what happened is the Kalayim. What happened is that if things are written down, then everybody can interpret them the way they want. Everyone can interpret them the way they want. In other words, once you write something down, so therefore, it's an open field. Anyone can interpret anything they want. However, why? If you keep something a secret, it's oral, it's only passed on to very select people, right? In other words, no one has accessed this oral information, then there's no machlokes. A few people have access, they agree, they offer the verdict, Shalom Yisrael. Says the Rambam, Ela nidas hasamchus b'chol ha'davah hazeh lebezen ha'gadol, kifi shebi'anu b'chibu ha'ilchasiyem, ulefi shalosh ha'ter ha'moyren. In other words, basically, the bezen ha'gadol has total, right? And, in other words, the oral law restricted the Bezal HaGadol. The Bezal HaGadol has total access to the oral law. Nothing is written down. And therefore, the Bezal HaGadol issues a psak. No one can argue. Why can no one argue? Because no one knows the reasons. No one has the sources. Everything is oral. Once you write something down, there's 100 opinions. Okay, now. Now, what was the reason we didn't give public access? Otherwise, it'll be a kilkel. Everyone will interpret the way he wants. Everyone's at Krumup Shabbat. This way, only those people who are most qualified to interpret will interpret, and the information is not accessed to anybody else. And therefore, that allows to maintain the authority and the true expression of the law. Allah has come for kama, says the Rambam, how much more so? She'en la lois divrei misisrei Torah, el al sefer kashim mosul b'adam. Certainly, sisrei Torah should be only oral and of limited access. Elayim hayun nimsoim yechid yeskula yechid yeskula kifish b'yat lecha b'dvarim ein mois yisrei Torah el yoyitz chacham chaloshim v'dov v'lachash. In other words, basically, sisrei Torah also kept oral. Because if you write down sisrei Torah, so therefore people will interpret it in all different types of ways, and this will bring about a tremendous kilkul, a tremendous destruction. I know what your question is. What destruction will it bring about, right?
No, what does he mean by sisrei Torah?
Ah, so sisrei Torah, let's understand sisrei Torah in a more general sense. The Maaseh Rambam speaks about Maaseh Merkava, or you know, what Maaseh Bereishis. In other words, sisrei Torah means what we would expect to be ultimately what the Rambam is going to explain is that there's the deeper understanding of the true science of the law, as the Rambam explained in his introduction. Really, the deeper secrets, the philosophical basis of the metaphysical basis of the Torah.
Is this, so the beginning of Yisrael Torah, which is the science, is not Sisrei Torah. That's for everybody.
Well, it's interesting. That's not true. Maaseh Bereishis also is limited. I don't go into Maaseh Bereishis, the Rambam. In other words, the Rambam says the purpose of the Sefer is to explain maybe Sisrei Torah in terms of Maaseh Merkava. What is Maaseh Merkava? What is Sisrei Torah? The Rambam. I mean, this is one of the large gaping problems of the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam says to me in the Zakdab, he's complaining to me, Sisrei Torah, and at the end you go past Maaseh Merkava. What happened? Nothing happened. I claim something did happen, but that's going to take other shiurim to explain really what happened. But in any case, whatever it is, Sisrei Torah is also something which has to keep war. In other words, when something is oral, it's of limited access. Only those people who have the authority, the knowledge, and the mastery, and are qualified to interpret it, only they are given access to its interpretation. That's what the Rambam is saying. It says, the Rambam says, Yasiba Shechaiva Yikon Nudon Eidon Noctum Yaidon. Say that for this reason these things were lost. Why? Because it's oral. So this oral becomes lost. It's not written down. In other words, only in Midrashim and Agadah do we find references to these deep secrets. These are small little sparks, little seeds, and there are many klippas, there are many shells on top of them. Very little like Kabbalistic language of the Rambam. I'm sure the Kubbalim are looking for Kabbalah Rambam. We'll probably take these two words and, you know, and develop pages and show them to these things. In other words, basically people will be besazik in these klippas and basically think there's nothing beneath them at all. In other words, basically what the Rambam says that the agadotas were secrets that are communicated by different things, that when people read the stories of the agadotas, they think that, you know, they're all different types of maybe like, you know, nice stories, silly stories, but there's nothing deep behind these agadotas. In other words, I mean, you're working on agadotas. In other words, agadotas is supposed to seem silly. Why is it supposed to seem silly? It's supposed to seem silly because we don't want people who are not qualified interpreting these deep access to these concepts. So it's better they should teach them silly stories or stories that people think have really no meaning than teach them the actual clear concept. Okay, now, it says the Rambam, well, what about things that we have from the Ga'onim? So the Rambam is coming from the Kalam. Whatever it is, anyway, a little bit further. Now, what did I read this section here in the Rambam for? I read it for the following reason. I read it because clearly the Rambam understands that secrets, the worst secrets that were communicated orally, but because of the oral communication, they were lost. Okay? Now, what are these secrets? What are these secrets? I mean, now, the Rambam, it's interesting. The Rambam says, Ashil diyunem amu'atim mizeh, ashe timtza le'inyin ha'yichot, page 186, I've been left, third last line, u'mashakosh b'nizeh, eitzel mitzas ha'goinem, re'el devom shikilom min ha'medabrim. So the Rambam, that was the goinem speaking about yichot, they got it from the Kalam. Okay? mean like this. But the Rambam seems to be saying is the Yichud Hashem is one of these secrets.
So no one can do the mitzvah of Shema, Kriya Shema.
Well, one second. The Rambam seems to be saying that the Shema Miyuchah, Yudke Vavke, Shema Mufurash, Yudke Vavke, is a Soya Loki, it's a divine secret. It's a divine secret, a necessary existence. It was only passed on, right? From a person to his students and sons, once every 7 years. Says the Rambam, when the Chazal say, in Kiddushin, that they passed on the pronunciation of Yod Kei Vav Kei. They don't mean the pronunciation. I mean, why should the pronunciation of a name be such a secret thing? What Chazal really mean to say is that the secret of God's incorporeality, i.e., I would say, the true, the negative theology of the Rambam, the understanding of God's necessary existence, this was something, this was a divine secret, and it was passed on orally. And since it was lost, like the Rambam says, all these secrets were lost. So therefore, for this reason, when Chazal say, we no longer know, or when we say we no longer know how to pronounce the Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's not the pronunciation which is really important. It's the fact is that this secret has been lost to us. That's what the Rambam is saying. And so it says, I'm the Imam, this is what I believe. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that when Chazal speak about the pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Rambam doesn't say that pronunciation, what's so special about the pronunciation of a word? What the Rambam says, what Chazal are really saying, is that there's a secret of God's essence. The concept of his necessary existence and every aspect of his essence, which we can only really describe in negative senses, this secret was an oral tradition, and Chazal actually referred to that when he speaks about the pronunciation of Yudke Vavke, was transmitted only to specific people once every 7 years, and today was lost. That's what the Rambam is saying.
That was a positive description of God?
Okay, now, the question is, what was it? It's hard to say it's a positive description, because the Rambam has told us that, you can't describe God positively. I mean, it would be hard to imagine that the Rambam would say that, in years before this, you could describe God positively. I don't really believe for any second that the Rambam actually would believe something like this. All the Rambam does is call it Mashmos Chiv HaMetzius. So it was the Mashmos, the meaning of the Chiv HaMetzius, the meaning of God's essence existence. But the fact is that what is the Rambam mean? Now the fact is we don't know. And the Rambam doesn't tell us that much. The Rambam in the next chapter, Perek Samach Gimel, chapter 3, will speak about that this necessary existence of God is Ekir Asher Ekya, which Moshe Rabbeinu will communicate to Klal Yisrael. But what's very, very interesting is that the Rambam there is going to present to us with a picture that Klal Yisrael somehow had lost this tradition, in a certain sense, and Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael and gives them the name of God, but what he doesn't give them the pronunciation name of God. What he does is he proves to them that God is incorporeal, can only be described negatively. And this is one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu actually comes from Chorev to read the Klal Yisrael when they're Mitzrayim. Which means that somehow this notion of God was lost over the generations. It was a degeneration. And Moshe Rabbeinu somehow to re-educate the Jewish people in this notion of incorporeality. We're going to speak about this in chapter 53. The fact is that what I want to say is that why is, in fact, actually the Rambam, why is the Rambam actually consider the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is a really big question is, why is that called a Soid Eloiki, a divine secret? What is a divine secret? We've learned the divine secret. I mean, the Rambam has spent many chapters in demonstrating with very, very convincing philosophical arguments. We even wiped out Kant's ontological argument with the Rambam, right? Describing the concept of God's negative, you know, negatively described essence, why would the Rambam understand that this something was a Soyed Elohiki, a divine, what's the divine secret of it? And not to mention the fact it was a divine secret, why is the Rambam revealing it to us if it's a divine secret? Now, the fact is that, I mean, there are two possibilities. One possibility would be is that I mean, not to mention that this is a broader question than Ma'ariv Nevuchim. The broader question is that the Rambam says he's going to be teaching us the divine secrets. He's going to be teaching Ma'ariv Nevuchim. The Rambam, you know, declares that in the introduction. The purpose of the Ma'ariv Nevuchim is to teach you Ma'ariv Nevuchim. Now, what are Ma'ariv Nevuchim? I mean, there's no Kabbalah in the Ma'ariv Nevuchim. All there is, at most there is Aristotelian philosophy. So what's Ma'ariv Nevuchim? I mean, if it's Aristotelian philosophy, so you're telling me that, you know, the secrets of the Jewish religion were none other than Aristotle. In fact, actually, they're Mefarshei Rambam, who understand that really that's what the Rambam, and in Hachinami, what the Rambam was doing in the Ma'ariv Nevuchim, it's revealed to us that the true secrets of the Torah were possessed by Aristotle or Plato. That, of course, is a notion which we reject outright for any other reason that, as we've spoken about these theories of creation, the Rambam did not ascribe completely to the notions of Plato and Aristotle. And number two, I mean, what came before Plato and Aristotle? In other words, I mean, it's very hard to say that. So, in other words, that for sure is not what the Rambam means. But the question is, why is it Soyed Elohiki? Not to mention, the fact is, another question which I want to ask is, what do you mean Soyed Elohiki? If I don't believe in that theology, I'm a paganist. Well, Soyed Elohiki would mean Ma'ariv Nevuchim, Ma'ariv Bereishis, things that without that I can also be a good Jew. Except that metaphysics makes me into much more of an Adam Shalem, much more complete person. I'm in possession of greater wisdom, which brings me to a higher level. But no one, the Rambam will certainly not, Chas v'Shalom, say that a person who's not privy to Ma'ariv Bereishis and Ma'ariv Nevuchim is not a from Jew, and we have to spill out his wine. But from everything we've learned in theology, especially the Shtar, chapter 60, Parak Samech, if I confuse negative theology, and according to my Sedli, Parak Lamed Vav, I'm worse than an Oyved Avodah Zarah. Why would that in any way be a divine secret? That's Alabez, Adonai Hashem Elokecha, Shema Yisrael. Why would I consider a divine secret to be something that, according to the Rambam, is the basis of our monotheism, anything of which anything else other than that is basically paganism and variations thereof. So, I think in Mirat Hashem, this is a very, very deep issue, which I can't begin to address now. The Rambam's theory of Seder HaTorah as they were transmitted appears several places in the Ma'ariv Nevuchim, which I'm going to go into. He's actually go back to again in this parak in some of Bays, which he speaks about the really history of the transmission of the Seder HaTorah. He speaks about it in chapter 63.2, and I think we'll have to leave that for the next lecture. In any case, until then, I'm keeping you at the edge of your seats for an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. I wish everybody kol tov and hatzlacha.